Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
We begin our program today with news about political elections from around the world. First, Mario Ritter gives us the details about changes taking place in the Myanmar government.
Myanmar's parliament has elected Thein Chaw as the country's next president. The retired bureaucrat from the National League for Democracy, or NLD, won 360 of the 652 votes in a joint meeting of the legislature. Thein Chaw is not a member of parliament, but he is a close ally of NLD leader Aung San Suu Kyi. The pro-democracy leader was among the first to vote in Tuesday's historic election. Aung San Suu Kyi made no comment to reporters after the vote. The Nobel Prize winner is popular with most citizens of Myanmar, also known as Burma. But she is barred by the Constitution from becoming president because both of her sons have foreign citizenship. A U.S. State Department official said the constitutional ban did not agree with basic democratic ideas. "We remain concerned about certain provisions in Burma's constitution that contradict fundamental democratic principles and prevent the people of Burma from voting for the leaders of their choice," said the official. "The people of Burma should be able to decide whether and when to amend the country's constitution to alter or remove these provisions." Aung San Suu Kyi has declared she will hold power over the president, whom she has known since primary school. However, the military will remain powerful in the new government because it automatically holds one quarter of the parliamentary seats. The military also will control several important ministries. Officials tried to prevent reporters from interviewing or videotaping the military's members of parliament as they registered for the joint session. "When the NLD forms a government, we will need to work together with them," an army brigadier general who declined to give his name told VOA. The army's candidate for president, General Myint Swe, who placed second, will become the first vice president. The general, however, remains on a U.S. government blacklist, and Americans are barred from doing business with him. The NLD's Henry Van Thieu, a Christian from Shin State, finished third in Tuesday's voting and will become second vice president. After the vote on Tuesday, lawmakers from both the NLD and the now opposition Union Solidarity and Development Party stressed the need to work together. However, analysts and some members of the NLD have expressed concern. They fear the influence of the generals will mean corruption will continue to be a problem in Myanmar. Myanmar is a mainly Buddhist country of more than 55 million people. The country has suffered civil war or ethnic conflict for many of the years since the end of British colonial rule in 1948. There has been progress in negotiating peace deals with different groups, since a nominally civilian government took power in 2011. But low-intensity conflicts continue between Myanmar's army and a number of armed ethnic minority groups. The new government will take office on April 1st. I'm Mario Ritter.
Next, we have a report on elections in Germany. One new party that won elections in the country is opposed to mass immigration to Germany. Anna Matteo has more.
In Germany, a political party opposed to immigration has won seats in three elections on Sunday. The Alternative for Deutschland Party won spots in southwestern Germany, which is rich, and in Saxony-Anhalt, which is poor. The party was started 3 years ago. It has seats in half of Germany's 16 state parliaments, according to German state TV. In Baden-Württemberg, the AfD party won 15% of the vote. In the Rhineland area, the party received almost 13%. In Saxony, it won 24% of the vote. An official with the AfD party said, "People want an alternative. They want a real opposition. And we want to take on that task." The loss is a setback for German Chancellor Angela Merkel. She favors an open immigration policy. Merkel is pressured to close Germany to migrants. Merkel is trying to reach an agreement between the European Union and Turkey to slow the flow of migrants. I'm Anna Matteo.
Americans will have an easier time visiting Cuba under new rules announced Tuesday by the Obama administration. The new rules will also make it easier for Cuban baseball players to take their talents to Major League Baseball teams. Bruce Alpert tells us more.
The Obama administration Tuesday took new steps to make it easier for Americans to visit Cuba. Americans can now take people-to-people trips to Cuba on their own. It changes former rules that required most Americans visiting Cuba to sign up for costly group tours. Americans will still have to fill out a form saying their visits to Cuba are for education, not just the beach. The new rules should help fill new commercial flights to Cuba, according to the Obama administration. U.S. airlines seek to begin regular flights to the island country in the next several months. The new rules will also help Cuba. U.S. banks may process financial transactions from Cuba. A previous ban made it hard for Cuba to sell its products internationally. And the rule will allow Cuban athletes, artists, and performers working in the United States to earn a salary. But they will be required to obtain a U.S. visa. The new rules could add to the number of Cubans playing Major League Baseball, or MLB. MLB officials hope Cuban players could play for MLB teams without having to give up their Cuban citizenship as they do now. The new rules are not all good news for Cuba. Not requiring Americans to sign up for expensive tours could cost the Cuban government millions of dollars annually, according to the Associated Press. The Cuban government controls the tourism industry. It requires American groups to stay in state hotels and travel on state buses and use government-registered tour guides, the Associated Press said. The announcement comes 1 week before President Barack Obama is set to lead a large U.S. delegation to Cuba. The visit will be the first to Cuba by a U.S. president in 88 years. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew said the new rules will make it easier for Americans to visit Cuba, and it will provide benefits to the Cuban people, he said. Today's amendments build upon President Obama's historic actions to improve our country's relationship with Cuba and its people, Lew said. Republican presidential candidates Ted Cruz of Texas and Marco Rubio of Florida are both Cuban Americans. They said the United States should not ease restrictions on Cuba until its government allows free elections and releases political prisoners. Leading Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump has said he favors better relations with Cuba. The Democrats' two presidential candidates, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders of Vermont, said they agree with President Obama's moves to ease the U.S. economic embargo of Cuba. The embargo started in 1962 under President John Kennedy as tensions increased between the communist government of Fidel Castro and the United States. I'm Bruce Alpert.
American businessman Donald Trump has surprised a lot of people in his effort to become the presidential nominee of the Republican Party. He had the largest number of Republican delegates going into five state primary elections on Tuesday.
When Donald Trump announced his plan to run for president on June 16, 2015, few Americans took his candidacy seriously. From the lobby of a luxury apartment named for him, Trump said, "I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created." The businessman and media personality told reporters, "I'm really rich," and said he was worth $8.7 billion. Critics say that figure is inflated and have asked Trump to release his tax documents as proof. The Huffington Post website declared, "If you are interested in what the Donald has to say, you'll find it next to our stories on the Kardashians and the Bachelorette in entertainment." They meant that Trump was more a story about celebrity than news. The National Review called Trump's announcement "Witless Ape Rides Escalator." The magazine called the businessman a ridiculous buffoon with the worst taste. Trump spoke about unemployment in America and said China, Japan, and Mexico had taken those jobs. He said Mexico and other Latin American countries send illegal immigrants to the United States. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists, he said. Trump promised to build a great wall to keep them out and that he will have Mexico to pay for that wall. Trump was the 12th person to join a crowded field of 16 candidates seeking the Republican Party's presidential nomination. He has never held public office, but he was the best-known candidate to the American public. Trump was the host of a TV reality show called The Apprentice. The show had 28 million viewers its first season. On Twitter, Trump has more than 6 million followers. He showed that his campaign was different from others when he tweeted, "Make America great again. Politicians are all talk and no action. They can never bring us back." For the next 9 months, Trump spread his message and attacked opponents on television, radio, and posts on Twitter. Trump made many incendiary and inaccurate comments about issues and other politicians. "He's not a war hero. I like people who weren't captured," Trump said about Senator John McCain, who ran for president as a Republican in 2008. McCain was shot down during the Vietnam War and was tortured as a prisoner of war. Republicans and Democrats condemned Trump when he called for a ban on all Muslims from entering the United States. About himself, Trump said he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters. About his rivals, Trump called former Florida Governor Jeb Bush low energy. About businesswoman Carly Fiorini, he said, "Look at that face. Would anyone vote for that?" Trump described South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham as a dumb mouthpiece and said that Dr. Ben Carson has a pathological temper. He said former Texas Governor Rick Perry should be forced to take an IQ test and described Kentucky Senator Rand Paul as truly weird. He added that former New York Governor George Pataki couldn't be elected dog catcher if he ran again, and used words such as liar, lying, loser, choker to describe Texas Senator Ted Cruz. As Republican Party leaders looked to support other candidates, Trump issued cutting statements. He called Senator Marco Rubio of Florida Little Rubio and responded with a series of insults. Lightweight, choker, looks like a little boy on stage, and Mr. Meltdown. The comments do not seem to affect Republican voters. A Gallup poll in February showed that a majority of Republican voters support Trump because he is outspoken, strong, and not a career politician. Only 8% of the people who liked Trump linked their support to immigration, his signature issue, as the reason. Trump was born June 14, 1946, in Queens, New York. He graduated from the New York Military Academy and later completed a study program at the Wharton School of Finance at the University of Pennsylvania. Trump started in business, working for his father, a wealthy real estate developer, in Queens. During New York's financial crisis, Trump received tax breaks from the city to build a hotel in Manhattan. The deal was the first of many projects for the developer, from casinos to golf courses. For a brief period, Trump owned a sports team and a small airline company. In 1991, he sought bankruptcy protection when his businesses did not make enough money to pay the loans. It was the first of four bankruptcy filings. Trump used his name to sell neckties, water, wines, steaks, books, and magazines. He launched The Apprentice and produced a business seminar called Trump University. In the 1990s, Trump's name became a headline for New York's tabloid newspapers when he divorced his first wife, Ivana, and married Marla Maples, a little-known actress. He is now married to Melania Knaus, a former model from Slovenia. The businessman has 5 children by 3 wives. On immigration, Trump said he opposes giving undocumented workers a path to citizenship. He said he wants to end birthright citizenship and wants undocumented immigrants to leave the U.S. On foreign policy, Trump has criticized the Iran nuclear agreement. He opposes the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. He supports Russian involvement in Syria and sending U.S. combat troops to Iraq to fight the Islamic State militants. On national security, Trump calls for more military spending. He wants to ban Muslims from entering the U.S. He said he supports a form of interrogation called waterboarding. On gun control, Trump generally supports the right to bear arms, but he said he supports the existing ban on some assault weapons, a waiting period on gun purchases, and criminal and mental health background investigations. On health care, Trump said he will cancel the Affordable Care Act if he is president. He will replace it with a much better and much less expensive plan for people and for the government. He does not offer specifics. On taxes, Trump said he wants to reduce personal and business income taxes on Americans and end the death tax on inheritances. Trump said he would close loopholes to pay for tax cuts. On China-U.S. relations, Trump called China a currency manipulator. He would act against hackers and counterfeiters, he said, and eliminate Chinese subsidies. On the environment, Trump called climate change a hoax. He would cut the Environmental Protection Agency, he said.
This is What's Trending Today, an edited video of Bernie Sanders scaring Donald Trump has gone viral. Businessman Trump is the leader in the Republican presidential race. Senator Sanders is the underdog in the Democratic race. The two have blamed each other for recent violence at Trump's campaign events. Trump canceled a rally in Chicago after some of Sanders' supporters entered the event. He blamed Sanders for organizing the protest and threatened to send his supporters to Sanders' events. "Send them," Sanders replied. He also said, "They deserve to see what a real, honest politician sounds like." A YouTube user who goes by the name of Mr. Owlman decided to have some fun with the Sanders versus Trump battle. He combined footage of Trump reacting to a protester jumping on stage with a Sanders interview from last October. In that interview, Sanders was explaining how he acts like a monster while playing with his grandchildren. The edited video makes it seem as though Sanders flies in on a chair, scares Trump, and then quickly hides in the crowd. A GIF version of the funny scene has spread quickly on social media. GIFs, or graphics interchange format, are image files that are compressed to reduce transfer time. GIFs are one of the oldest image formats on the web. GIF technology has been around since the 1980s. Nowadays, GIFs go viral on social media because they are short and easy to view. The recent Sanders versus Trump GIF is being called the best GIF of this election cycle. One Twitter user wrote, "I don't know what genius made this, but you have brought great happiness during a dark time." And that's what's trending today.
Today what we have planned for you guys is money markets and then playing a game called Mr. Big Shot. So we'll start off today.
Just outside Washington, D.C., children with an interest in economics now have a place to learn about it. They can join a club called Edunomics. The group meets once a week at Farmwell Station Middle School in Ashburn, Virginia. Edunomics was the idea of two high school students who once studied at the middle school. Sahit Malayala and Sahil Yadula visit Farmwell Station once a week to teach economics to interested students. The high school seniors began studying economics in high school. The two say they work with the children not for credit, but to give back to the local community. Sahil Yadula says they decided to give children a chance to explore a subject they enjoy.
I got a message from Sahit. He was like, "Hey, you want to start an economics club?" And I was like, "You know what? Why not?"
Sahit Mulyala says there were many reasons for launching the club last year. He says middle schoolers have plenty of chances to learn about science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Educators use the name STEM when talking about the four subjects.
They have a lot of STEM-related opportunities, but we wanted to do economics because we're both interested in that, and there wasn't that many economic-related organizations or clubs out there.
Neighbors and childhood friends took their idea for Edunomics to David Stevenson, who teaches at the Farmwell Station Middle School.
I am deeply touched. I usually get visitors to come back and see me and say hi. I have never had students come back and say, "This is what I want to do." I thought it was a fantastic idea.
Stevenson helped the high schoolers find a space to hold the weekly classes. Yadula says he also showed them how to be good teachers.
Mr. Stevenson's help cannot be put in words. He helped us so much with this club. I remember after the first lesson, he was like, "Maybe just try to slow it down a bit, just ease into it."
Mulyala says simplifying economics, financing, and business, and making it fun is the secret to getting younger students interested.
Each week we would have a 5 to 10 minute lecture on a new topic, and then after that we would really hit hard on making sure they understood it through an interactive game.
These games help demonstrate the real world uses of the economic theories. Club member Anika Kumar finds studying economics fun and useful.
If you want to start your business, then you need to know all about economics and money.
David Stevenson says Edunomics has been profitable for everyone involved. Older students learn to become leaders and bring change to others' lives. Middle schoolers are more open when high schoolers teach them. Next year, the high schoolers will be attending college. But David Stevenson says the club will continue, giving other students a chance to teach and learn. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.